This episode and the upcoming episodes are so good because not only are we talking about golden nuggets in the guest speaker's area of expertise, we're also talking about their story, their entrepreneurial journey. And whether you are an entrepreneur or not, I just hope that you find some really cool insights to women who are in business online. And I think these candid conversations are just going to be so cool, maybe to spark something that is within you, or maybe just give you a little bit of insight and perspective of what goes on behind the scenes to these ladies that you are seeing online. And I have had Jamie Baker as a guest on the podcast before. I will link the episode in the show notes. Today, we are talking about why getting dressed, putting yourself together, and knowing your personal style will help elevate your life in so many different ways, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're going into a corporate or professional job. And I just love Jamie so much. I love what she does. And we, at the end, talk about her story, and her entrepreneurial journey. Let's jump in. Welcome to the Living in Sync podcast, where we will talk about the biological blueprint of your cycle and how your hormones impact every area of your life. I'm your host, Joelle, certified nutritionist, mom of two, fitness coach for over a decade, and I want to help you better understand your cycle to work with your body in achieving your goals. I will teach you how to care for your body in a well-rounded and realistic way that caters to your season of life and feel freaking amazing. In every episode, you will get tips, takeaways, and just feel like this is a heart-to-heart chat with a friend. Let's roll into today's episode. Jamie, I'm so excited to have you back on the Living in Sync podcast. How are you doing today?
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to be here, Joelle. Thanks for having me. I'm good and excited to chat.
This will be so great. And so we will get into more about you, your story, entrepreneurship. But first and foremost, I want to remind you guys that I have another episode with Jamie, and we really talked about why you shouldn't wait to dress cute because of weight loss. I know that is something I still hear in my own head sometimes as I'm still on my health and fitness journey, I feel like, and my body changed so much after having kids. And it's a common thing, like, after we've had kids, should we wait to lose the baby weight before we start dressing cute or buy new clothes? And we cover that in the other episode. But today we're going to have a really cool conversation about why is it important to care about what we are wearing, because this has made such an impact in my life, and I'm still in Jamie's Style Society. I still get so excited every quarter when the style guides come out. And recently, and I shared this in the Style Society group, Jamie knows this, but I didn't share it on my podcast. But because I've been following Jamie's method for so long now and taking her style tips, and I know my style type, when my husband and I went to Nashville, I didn't need to go buy a whole new wardrobe. I bought a few things that added like a little Western edge to make it fun. But one was like a little Western style belt from Walmart that was $12. And another one was like a cute hat that was moderately priced. I maybe only will wear it to country concerts or Nashville, which is a few times a year. But I didn't have to go overhaul my whole wardrobe. So this is why I brought Jamie on, because she's been such a like pivotal and special person to me over the years. So Jamie, like, why is it important for us women to care about what we wear? Or is it just like misogyny or like cultural for us to look put together?
It can be looked at as such a vanity measure, right? Oh, I don't care. I don't care what I look like. It doesn't matter to me. I'm smart enough. I'm kind enough. My husband doesn't love me more because I get dressed, or I don't make, you know, better decisions at work because I wore a cuter outfit. And I actually want to flip the coin on that and say, that's not true. kind of debunk the myth that I don't care. I think that some people can perceive it as vanity, but I want to challenge that mindset and think about what it means to be ready. When you are ready for the job in front of you, whether that job is taking care of toddlers all day, or it is being in a boardroom making big decisions for a business, or you are working on your own business at home by yourself, working from home behind a computer, thinking like, well, nobody's going to see me today. It doesn't matter. There are studies that prove that's actually not true, that what you wear has a lot of impact on how productive you are, your level of energy, and the quality of work that you put out there. There are also some studies done on how you are perceived. And if you're perceived by someone as being dated, it could hold you back from getting a job because they could assume that your skills are also dated. So when it comes to selling yourself on doing the best job you can with the job in front of you today, your outfit is actually going to prime your brain to look in the mirror and think, I can do this. I'm the woman for the job. I have the energy and I am ready. And you don't have to get ready. When you decide that that is part of your identity, it is who you are ready for the job at hand. And every job is just as important as the next. I don't care if you are a stay-at-home mom or a top lawyer, everyone's job is just as equally important. It's the fact that you need to pay attention to getting ready for that particular job so you can show up the best you can. Because this is not dress rehearsal. This is your life. No matter your weight, your income, whatever it is that's holding you back that you might be using as an excuse to say, it doesn't matter, it's too vain. I would challenge you to switch that mindset and see what happens if you try getting ready.
Yeah, and this has changed, and that has been a principle of yours that I've embodied, because even when I'm thinking about getting dressed for a Saturday where we're doing kids' activities, or when I am getting on a Zoom to do podcast recordings, or when I'm in the office doing podcast editing, coming at it with the mindset of what am I getting dressed for? For and having it match that. And my business and life and my day-to-day has changed so much in the 2 years that I've been in your world. But having that foundational piece of what am I getting dressed for has been such a practical tip that even though my business is different, my day-to-day is different, when I came into your world, it was probably more like 3 years ago now, I had two little kids at home where I was only working in the pockets of like nap time, but I was going to indoor playgrounds and I was doing outdoor playgrounds and activities like that. And now I have days where I'm in office. And so that's where I've just been such a fan of you and what you talk about, because it can work whether somebody is an entrepreneur like us, or a mom who is doing the little toddly toddler things all of the time, or the corporate woman that is going into the office, or the woman who's just on Zooms all day and needs to be from the like Zoom camera length up. That foundation is so good. So how does one find their style, because there's so many influencers, there's so many like TikToks, there's so many, look at this outfit I got from this store, that store, buying things off of Amazon. Like, how does one find and put together a closet that works for them in their life?
It's such a big question because we're sold this message of if you get this new cheap Amazon thing, it's going to change your whole life, right? Like you're going to be so cute. And I think we've all been there, myself included. I am every woman. Like I really am still the woman who, even though I'm a professional stylist, I'll get caught up in, oh, that's so cute. When the package arrives, it's going to change my whole life, right?
Oh, that's good to know, because I've even when I see things that are like, this thing is amazing from Amazon, I have to remind myself too, like majority of the things I've gotten off Amazon that were once said, this is amazing, this is incredible, hasn't been. Like, no, it's
No.
not. No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's all a lie.
Yeah.
It looks so cute in the perfect lighting and angle and editing, right? But in real life, it's, oh man. So I've fallen for the trap too. But the key is not perfection. It's being able to cut out all of the noise and be able to look at something, whether it's an influencer or someone's wearing something cute on a TV show, or you see someone out in the wild at the mall, whatever it is, and you think, I have to have that. It's going to change my life. Or the ones that get me too, and I know a lot of clients are the emails, like, oh my
Yeah.
gosh, it's on sale. I have to buy it. It's so cute. And to be able to say, I found my style and I can appreciate that that is cute for her, or that might work for someone else, but it doesn't work with my style type, maybe my budget, my body shape, and my lifestyle. So I'm just going to say, that's cute, good for her. Someone else gets to wear it and move on. The first step to getting that clarity and to really cutting through all of the noise that's out there is to get clear on what you like to wear in your body. And I've come up with a really fun quiz, if it's okay for me to share the quiz.
I love it. Of course, I even knew my type and I still took the quiz and it was spot on. Like, spot on.
I love it. It's so much fun because it really opens the doors to two different style types that you can decide, okay, I'm a little bit of this and a little bit of that, depending on what I'm doing for the day, also has impact on that. So if you go to jamiebaker.com/quiz, you can take that quiz and you can get immediate answers, results for your style type. And that gives you the first step to some clarity. Like, oh, okay, I like really minimal and structured items. And I've been looking at these flowy Free People boho Amazon dupes. And that's why I don't like them, because it's missing an element of structure. It's those little details that make a big difference. And once you can take the first step to clarity, you are on your way to style success.
And it has been so helpful to just see things, like you said, appreciate them, and then know that maybe isn't gonna work for me, or it's gonna end up hanging in my closet and whatnot. And so, what are really the biggest changes that you see in women once they have come into your community, find their style type, like really finesse and get the essence of like what type of freedom this brings. Like, what are the changes that the ladies will really share with you or rave about?
I know that nobody can see my face right now, but the way that this question makes me smile, because this is where the good stuff happens. Once you get that clarity and you start getting dressed and you start seeing results like making more money at work, getting compliments from your kids, Mommy, you look so pretty today. Your husband, a little bit more flirty. I can't tell you the amount of women who started changing their clothes and changed their lives in so many ways, from getting pregnant to making more money to losing the weight they've wanted to lose when they stopped putting all their eggs in the basket of like, when and if I reach this point, I will be worthy and good enough and pretty enough to get dressed. And that's just not true. That's not going to solve all of your problems. Life is a journey. And when you start treating your body well today, you will start reaching the goals that you have. So, whatever goals that women are looking for, style can be a catalyst to reach that goal. More energy, more joy, more focus at work, more productivity, more freedom in their body, more freedom in their family time because they were focused at work. And then they were able to turn that off and be focused on their family and have that really precious memory-making moments that they didn't have before because they were so frazzled and all over the place.
I mean, I'm in Jamie's community, you guys, and have been for years and years now. So long, we don't even actually know the accurate amount of time I've been in the community, and I'm not going anywhere. Just saying, I'm gonna be in there for a long time. But I've even seen things from, like, my example, saving money. Like, you think, oh, if I come into Jamie's community and start learning about this, I'm gonna start buying more clothing. What I really find is, and maybe you could even touch on that too, am I gonna have to get rid of everything and need a big budget to overhaul my wardrobe? But like I said with my Nashville story, why I brought it up at the top of the episode was I literally saved money, you guys, because instead of being like, oh, I need a new this and I need that because I have nothing to wear, I have these things that I love to wear. And then I could finesse pretty much all of those things, whether I went to Nashville or a beach vacation, because my husband and I went to Punta Cana last year. And I think I literally bought a like kimono because that wasn't necessarily in my style type. But I was like, for a beach vacation. And that was like seriously one of the only things I bought for the trip. I bought very few things for that trip as well, because I just have this really great foundation. So saving money, finding, and that's another element. I'm jumping way ahead here, I know, but the community. It's an incredible community. So you're not alone. Ladies are in the community asking, like, what do you think about this? How about that? I'm trying this out. What do you guys think about this brand or this size? It's really like a bestie place to ask the girly questions. And I am here for that 100%. So what do you have to say about those two things, where do they have to overhaul and spend have a whole bunch of money to redo their whole wardrobe, and then talk about the community aspect?
Oh my goodness. The community is the best part. It's the best place on the internet. I might be biased, but it
It
really is.
literally is. And that's
I
something from an entrepreneur perspective, where when this conversation shifts to that, I think we should touch on community too.
Okay, definitely. I think that every person's budget is relative, right? So spending a lot of money to $500 to one person could be like, oh my gosh, that's so much, and to another, a drop in the bucket. So I just want to preface that because it's all relative. Do you have to go buy a whole bunch of new clothes? No. You need to really get clarity first. And then my method is for everybody, every budget. So it's not for a particular size or style type or lifestyle or budget. It is really able to be personalized and customized per person. So we have women in our group who shop at, Joelle mentioned Walmart. We've got women who shop Poshmark. We've got women who shop thrift stores. They will literally take the style guide into a thrift store and get really, really similar items and make the same outfits. It can be done on any budget. And so the excuse that I don't have enough money or I'm afraid it'll take too much money, it really ends up just being a style block that stays in our way and keeps us from becoming great, right? Women are like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to spend more money. And I think that 90% of the women would tell you they have saved money. And the ones that don't are probably ones that never spent money on themselves. So spending money is new, but it's actually a good, healthy way of spending money.
And this goes and carries into the co both conversations we had about carrying yourself different and then having new pieces that fit your style type and you feel really confident in. Because I even think about this morning, I have a very simple outfit on. I'm actually wearing like a nicer style jogger. I have this gray turtleneck sweater on. And when I was walking out the door, it was sprinkling this morning. So I grabbed my trench coat that's like a rain material. It's from one of the places that you had recommended. And I remember purchasing that and being like, I know I'm gonna wear this a ton. Like, I know I'm gonna wear this a lot. So I knew, okay, I'm gonna buy. Not high-end, like it's not a designer or high-end prices. I usually stick around mid prices, but I would even say, like, I remember when I was thinking about getting kind of a more expensive faux leather jacket, even though my style type, one of my style types is edgy, I don't like add it on as a layer because I'm also very sporty. I did went with a Walmart version of this oversized like faux leather jacket, and because I don't wear it that much and I do love having it in my wardrobe, I went on the cheaper side. But that like rain trench coat in the fall and the spring, because I live in a colder climate, I get so much wear out of that. And I get compliments, you guys, when I'm wearing it with joggers, sneaker, and like a sweater that looks like a sweater, but it's not anything, like it's a simple, it's basics, but it's that one thing where it's like, oh, I feel chic. I'm just walking into preschool, but I am like, okay, after I'm done with this preschool drop-off, then I'm walking over here, then I'm getting into my work, which I feel really good about. And all of these things are just as comfortable as my leggings and an oversized ratty t-shirt. And my husband works in the construction industry, and if you have a husband that works in the construction industry at all, you get all of these like construction and I love them, construction businesses hoodies and big size t-shirts and all of that. And I'm like, I feel so different with what I did today versus what I used to do, just roll out of bed, be like, oh, not even think about how do I want to show up? What am I going to be doing and dress for that? So, yeah, and it saved me money. When the style guide comes out, I have foundational pieces where I'm looking at, I have this, that, and this, and that, and this, right? I want to add maybe some trendy pieces, maybe some things where it's like, oh, I want to try and play around with that style. I have one boho girly type of dress because on an off chance, I feel like being a boho flowy girly, like it's there, but I know. And then I also know how to add in the sporty pieces. So that's where I've been trying to get to here is even though a lot of the ladies are coming in and they may not be like, oh, I have a lot of money to spend for new things, you give them a different lens to see what they already have.
Yeah.
That's a feedback I've seen a lot in the group.
Like I would have never thought to pair these two things together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that you save a lot of money, not that one trench coat that maybe was a little bit more of an investment for you versus the faux leather coat. You could have bought four or five different dupes or the end of the clearance rack at Target or Walmart or whatever, just to grab something that you needed, right? Well, let me try this one. Let me try this one. And the difference in investing in one piece that makes you feel so good not only saves you money from wasting, your time and money buying a bunch of different things, it saves you time and it boosts your confidence. So it's like a triple threat win with that. And being able to know what to wear those pieces with to get longevity out of it, to get more out of your wardrobe. It's not about having more clothes. It's about creating a system for yourself that's rinse and repeat of like wearing more of what you love.
Right. And you guys, this is how when you are learning from Jamie, learning her method, and you've done this over time, because remember, I've had years with this. I'm thinking of that one jacket and I'm like, okay, I described what I wore today. I could also do jeans, this sweater, and booties. I have all of those pieces. I could also do leggings, oversized sweatshirt, sneakers, scrunchy socks. I could also do black dress, taller boots, wham bam. Like all of that. I've even got an athletic dress that's like a navy, and I'm like, oh, navy and camel would look super cute together. I got some new, like newer slides that are really, really cute. Put on a hat. Like all of
Yep.
those outfits are pieces I already have. You put them together in a different type of way. And I found that too. There's a lot of ladies that share like their personal preferences on, and I think we did this in the last episode on spend or save or splurge. And everybody's opinions is different because sometimes for me with trends, I'm like, I'm gonna buy the cheaper version because I already know it's not gonna be around a long time. And then splurging on classic, I mean, I splurge on things that I know I wear the most, like boots and jackets, those things that are like they need to be quality. But also, I remember and I still have it. This is actually another type of coat, it's more of the wool dad coat that is from like the Home Alone movie style, like that guy. And that I bought the Walmart version, and I've had it for 2 years now, and it's really starting to pill and look damaged. But I'm like, I do wear it a lot. So when I'm going next year, I'm like, I know I'm gonna want to get this coat. I know I'm gonna wear it. So I feel comfortable buying something that is on higher end versus if there's something, I can't even think about what's super trendy right now. But if something's super trendy, I'll save in that way. But everybody's different, right?
Everyone is different and everyone's budget is a little bit different in what they enjoy wearing. But definitely investing your money in basics is going to take you so much further. And that's like the hill I will die on. Basics make outfits. You just named five outfits with basics and your trench coat.
Yeah, literally. And I'm like excited to wear all of them. I literally, like, I'm excited to wear all of them. And they all work together. And I now know how to layer. So if it is a little bit on the chillier side, I can like layer, 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 and then it warms up. Like, it has been just so helpful. So now I really want to have more of an entrepreneurial question because it's always fascinating how this leads to that, that led to this, and life just kind of cohesively comes together. And we're in this bird's eye view of, oh, everything you've been through. And I know your story, but did you ever think that you would be an entrepreneur?
No, that wasn't something that was introduced to me as a kid growing up. It wasn't something that was in my vocabulary at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, I want to own my own business and make a bunch of money. That was never the plan. I didn't even really know that could be a world for me, like an option for me. And it just kind of happened. And I did have a boss when I worked in the fashion industry that essentially fired me because she was like, you have to do your own thing. You're not made to work for other people. And it really opened my eyes to a whole new world of, oh, that could be for me. Really? And yeah, opened a lot of doors.
Yeah, how did the steps and starting points of this business start for you? Like, where was kind of the spark and then the stepping stones from there?
The spark started with her. I was working in sort of a Devil Wears Prada kind of environment where she was this really, really busy. We lived in New York City. Her stylist backed out one day and she asked me to step in. And I was a nervous wreck. And she got the pole, she tried it on, and she was like, this is where your talent is, Jamie. This is what you need to be doing. Although I was really, really good at being an assistant, I was better at being a stylist and making my own rules. And so she kind of pushed me out because I think she knew I wouldn't jump if I wasn't forced to, if I always had a job. And so from there, I had my first kid, met my husband, had a kid, went and tried the Hollywood thing for a minute, but that was not my jam.
Like a Hollywood stylist, you guys.
Yes. And I thought, okay, if I do the Hollywood world, I'll always be someone's assistant. I started as an intern and assisting, and I'm not going to be that person. Like, those people are really important and really a big deal. And it's really like the least glamorous, exciting, fun. It's pretty horrible environment, kind of toxic to be working in.
I could see that where you're really being in the dynamics of somebody else's life, and then there can be like dictating that. Yeah, I could see how that would be like, nope.
Yeah, not my jam at all. I ended up meeting my husband, getting married, and getting pregnant right away, and thinking, okay, so I'll just style like on the weekends and I will be with my kid. I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. I will just have a client here or there. I think I was charging about $100 for a full-on session. I'll go do the shopping. I'll do the returns. I'll style you. I'll make you a lookbook. We can talk 100 times on the phone. I was just excited to do it. And I had no idea what the structure should look like. Nobody told me, okay, you have your own business. Actually, my husband did. He was like, we're getting you an LLC. This is actually a business. He comes from an entrepreneurial background. And this is like a real thing. You have to do this and you have to come up with prices, and it's not a hobby. And so it kind of just turned into that. And I realized what kind of fire it lit under me when I heard women win. Because every time I helped them change their clothes, they changed their lives. And when they were winning, I was winning. It was like a high I was on. Like, oh my gosh, you got pregnant. Oh my gosh, you had the best vacation of your life with your husband. You guys haven't been anywhere in 5 years. Like, you're three kids deep and 5 years into your marriage, and you've not been anywhere. And now your whole relationship has changed. Oh, you opened your business. You got the raise. You met your husband. Like, things just started happening that I was like, well, when she wins, I win. And that's when I created a community. Like, I want everyone in on this. Like, I want everybody to hear these wins because it fuels you when you hear other women win. There's no mean girls.
No. And correct me if I'm wrong, and the podcast episode prior to this one is my entrepreneurial story, and I talked and shared about that. So often, especially in the world of online entrepreneurship, people and business mentors are sharing the scope of 0 to 100, and everybody's wanting to get from 0 to 100 right away. But if I'm listening to your story right, your business also really started at taking messy action, one next right step at a time, and then refining from there.
Getting in the right room, taking the next step, taking the next risk, taking jobs working for free at 30 years old when I was surrounded by a bunch of 18-year-olds whose parents were, supporting their life. And I could have been like, oh, I'm too old for this, or I'm not cut out for this. And I did. I was tired. I was like, this is crazy. I'm not getting paid. I'm working 14-hour days. And I had friends look me in the eye and tell me, like, one, you're not dressing like a stylist, and two, you're not acting like one. Do you know how many women would kill for this position right now? And really just challenging me to step it up. And it was not pretty. It was like, okay, I don't care if I'm tired. I need to look the part. I don't care if I'm tired. I need to show up my best. I need to be grateful for this opportunity. And when I would change my perspective, I would be able to have what it took to take the next step and just, yeah. I mean, it doesn't, there's nothing glamorous about 0 to 100. It didn't happen overnight. We're talking like 10 years.
That's what I was going to ask you next. Like a little bit more of that timeline from like the start of your business to holy cannoli, like the style societies taking off, the course taking off. Like what, like how many years is in that timeline?
2017 is when I started like taking clients and had my first kid. 2020 was when I decided to open a membership, and I did that the week that the world shut down.
Right,
And
crazy
so
timing.
that was like, oh, that was the biggest mistake of my life. What was I thinking?
But
Telling
also
people to
no,
get
because
dressed.
wasn't that was I there was I gotta look at when I came into your world. Yeah, I have to
It
check.
ended up being great, but it looked stupid on the outside, right? Most people would be like, well, what are you doing? Well, I planned it, so I just kept walking it because this is what I've had to offer the world. So that was 3 years before I even started membership. And I think I have 11 people.
And what did those first few years of membership feel like?
Clunky. I didn't know what I was offering. I didn't know what I was doing. I was making Canva style guides that are so embarrassing to look at now. I
Because they
can't.
are stunning now, you guys. They are next level mind blowing. Every time I get one, I'm like, how do these keep getting better?
Because I have lots of help now. But at the beginning, it was me and a computer and nap time, and that was it. It was trying to navigate what does it look like to be a business owner while having a toddler and wanting to do more. And then I didn't really grow until someone came under me and said, I see what you have. Let me bring you into my world and show you. She brought me to a table. And it was the consistency and the grit and the long, unglamorous hours that took me to that room. And even in that room, when she said, okay, this is what I think you could do, I wanted to make a course one day. It was, but if it was up to me, I'd probably still not have that course launched. And it was like, okay, do this now, put it out imperfectly. And I did. I made that thing from Canva, and I that was 2021. So that was another year before I had a course, and then things really started to take off.
Yeah, so you said the start of your community, your word, clunky. And now your community is so cohesive and connected, and there's engagement going on in there because for a lot of people who want to start like a community or a membership or something like that, they're like, and I have had groups and various things where it's like, I'm the only one talking here, guys. Hello, anybody else here? How and why do you think the Style Society members have become such a tight-knit, caring, positive, uplifting community?
I don't know. So if I'm like totally honest, I think that the best part of what I do is all of those women. It has nothing to do with me. It is, I guess, part of it could be my heart and why I do it. And the why behind it is all the wins. And those wins mean nothing by yourself in a room, just you and your win. It means something when they are collectively brought to a table where other women can cheer you on and you can give someone else hope. I think I've lived through a lot of really dark days, and at the beginning of motherhood and business, it was just me and a computer and me and my baby and what is happening. And I wanted to share the wins. Do you remember going shopping when you were younger and you'd get the bag home from the mall and you kind of do a fashion show, like the
Oh,
haul, right?
yes.
That was the best part about shopping, was like, let me show you what I got. So to create a space where it's like everyone can come to the table and say, let me show you what I got and what happened because I wore it. That's the best thing I could ever ask for.
You just described the Style Society in the best way of like it's the adult version of let me show you my new clothes. Like
Yes.
because I had a mom and I'm very, very blessed to have seen this growing up. And my still to this day, my mom loves shopping, loves clothes. She has a beautiful closet. She is so fun in her style and she loves it. And when we would go shopping, she would bring us to our stores, but we always had to wait for mom to go and look at her stores too. And as a kid, I was like, man, I want to go home. Man, I want to go to my store, you know? And now as a mom, I'm like, I am so glad. Like her hair appointments that she loved, her clothing. And I was talking to another group of women about this is like, well, in her age, they were told they had to have their hair done. They had to dress nice. They had to da da da. And I came back home and I asked my mom, like, did you feel like it was a societal or, like somebody told you had to do these things for yourself? And my mom was like, no, I like to do them for myself. And I think as women, we've been hearing this narrative of this is misogyny and
Yep.
duh, 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 society telling us we need to look pretty for other people. But have you really felt about what, how do I feel differently when I'm in something I feel good in? Like it doesn't have to be a floral dress that shows a ton of cleavage. That's
No.
not what we're saying here. What do you feel like when you are in something that you feel good in? And how does that make you feel different than when you're wearing schlumpy clothes. And I really, so yeah, I have such childhood memories of going to Limited Too and then coming home and being like, I put on every single piece of clothing that we got, and we would do like hauls, just crazy cool. But that's the best way. And if I may just say, knowing you're a woman of faith, what I think one of your secret sauces in your businesses is you've built this business, like we said, one step at a time. I talked about that in my other episode of how I really think God's guidance isn't, oh my God, I got this download and this is amazing. This is incredible. And you guys aren't going to believe what I am working on. Like a solid business, I don't think it's built from that energy. I think it's God's still sound, small direction, one step at a time, and leaving room in buffer for him to be like, and look what I did. Like you took one next right step You're working in your gifts and talents that he gave to you, right? Specifically, he didn't give me these gifts. He gave you these gifts. And it's been one small step at a time. It's been trusting, which is hard to do. I'm sure everybody does the dance and the balance of comparison and trust at some point, but it's also been faith and God being like, you are due. This is what I'm wanting you to do. This is the pace I'm wanting you to do it at. And then we have all the ladies in the Style Society and your clients and whatnot. We have come into your world from different ways. Like, I'm sure some people find you from, I found you from a podcast interview. Other people find you from Instagram. Other people find you from word of mouth because I know I don't shut up about you and all
Love
of
it.
these different things. And so it's like, that if any ladies are like, oh, I have this passion, or I feel like God gave me this gift, like, how do I build it into a business? How do I da 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 da? Go to God and ask for that next small step. And then with sound, strong movement, step by step, messy action, because it's not going to be like perfect and polished and pretty at times.
No.
We all know. But when I, and that's how my first business was built, my MLM business, because nobody was teaching what to do. I literally was just like, this is the next right step, next right step. And then I was trying so hard to get hormone stuff, cycle stuff, courses, all of that in the way the world tells us to do things. And then with podcast production and podcast management, which has been at this point my second most profitable business. In only doing this for over a year now, it is in those still small guidance steps. It's not the, I didn't even announce my podcast production business for a year on Instagram. I did it behind the scenes for a year before I even talked about me doing it on social. And it's just so, I'm coming at this from a whole different lens and angle of God's way is greater than world's way. And I
100%.
just want the ladies listening to know that it's like just one small, messy action step at a time.
I could not have said that better. Yes, it was all of the character refining moments and all of the people that told me I can't and all of the hard times that made me who I am to be able to be an entrepreneur because it's not for everyone.
It's not
It's not.
easy.
That's for the faint at heart. It is really hard. It can be really lonely. And all of the credit goes to God. Like, I can't take any of the credit. Every step was prayed over, and everything that came to me was in a better way than I could have planned it out.
And every struggle where it's, oh my God, this is an obstacle I'm facing. Like, you bring it to God, you pray about it, and then you persevere through it. And it's like there's a lesson learned or a refinement or a character building, like you said. And so, yeah, I love that so much. So to end with my last question or topic is, what tips do you have for work from home moms or business ladies, whether it be boundaries or just like what tips do you have for the ladies that can really help them and support them while building a business or working from home or going after a goal and a dream or surviving the day as a mom that's chasing toddlers?
Oh my goodness. This is an area where I am not perfect, but I've definitely found things that work for me over the years and adding to my family and adding to my business. It has been, of course, I'm going to start with style. It is the bookmark of or the bookend of my day. Like I get dressed in my workout clothes, I do my workout, get dressed in my work clothes, I do my work. I change into loungewear, I'm present with my family. I put on pajamas, it's time to go to bed. Like those are the bookends to my day that sets me up for telling my brain, it's time to turn this on and that off. And having those boundaries throughout my day is essential for me not to let each thing bleed into the next. And taking care of myself, which I think getting dressed is definitely part of that. But what I eat, how does it make me feel? Am I fueling my body? Am I taking care of my brain so that I can be sharp and my body so I can be strong? And then putting some systems into place most recently with these are my work blocks, these are the things I need to get done. And a counselor in therapy actually brought this to the forefront for me with you are having someone else watch your children while you are working. You have to honor God in that, and you have to work well in those time frames you're given. This is not time for you to mess around on social media, because if I tell you what is my downfall, social media, scrolling my phone. I was
Same.
wasting my life scrolling my phone instead of getting my work done. And then I was working on the weekends when my kids were home because I didn't get my work done because I had, quiet time to scroll through Instagram on a Tuesday morning. And I got so sick of myself that I decided to implement some systems and put some real boundaries there. So lots of boundaries for myself.
Yeah. And knowing you're the type of person that may need that, and then another person may not be the type of person that needs that. And knowing yourself and what will be supportive for you, because, and there's even different times and different seasons. You know, there was the same thought process that I had when it came to food. Like, I knew my energy slumps were because I was starting to get really lazy in my nutrition. And so I thought, how can I be simple and efficient with this? And one was like, okay, we'll get back to having a really well-balanced smoothie in the morning. That's great and nourishing, good energy. And then, yeah, I spend a little bit more and now have factor meals coming because I don't want to waste my workday, the time where my kids are not with me, making a meal for myself. Whereas we have a very open concept house. So when the kids are done with school, my husband's getting home from work, like I still am connected to them because the kitchen is in all of the spaces. So that is my time to cook. So it's like I'm not going to be dilly-dallying and knowing, like, and then I know when I'm focused on my work and getting things done, I know that rest and that reprieve is coming. Because I have my nighttime routine on check, where it is my peace to unwind and it's very relaxing and very tranquil. So then, in the moments where there's chaos with the kids, or I'm feeling frazzled and overwhelmed, or like I'm not getting through my work fast enough, I'm like, there is that pocket, there's that time blocking. Like you had mentioned, it does, it helps so much. And some of us have to be more like, timeline oriented, whereas others can be more like time block oriented, right? And just knowing, but then putting boundaries, because I'm the same with social media and my phone too. And so now, especially in the hours of 4 to 8, I'm like, no phone zone. My phone is not in my pocket, it's not near my body. It's somewhere where we're in real life, it's somewhere we can access it. I can tap it and glance it, right? But I'm not gonna have it on my body anymore. So then, if I sit down on the couch, I start to scroll, or I am looking at it while it's just so silly how even times where it was like the kids were in the bath. Why did I think, oh, I'm gonna check social media quick? I can get so trapped in social media too.
I was so sick of myself, seriously,
I
from just
still get sick of
scrolling all the time.
myself. I'm
I
not
just
kidding.
ordered Factor. I'm so excited. I
Yeah.
ordered it this morning.
And I canceled it yesterday morning for May, 'cause like I told myself, like, you know, April, March, and then once it starts getting like fun and fresh, my husband will grill. So it's like I have grilled chicken and that type of stuff, because with anything you kind of get like sick and tired of it and whatnot. But with do you have the Horatio
I
printing
do.
planner? Every time we do the quarterly like cloud, and it's what's your distraction? There has not been, so I've used this for years now, Jamie.
Okay, this is my first year.
There has not been a quarter where I don't put social media. And so it's still something too. And I had a really great podcast episode on breaking the phone addiction. So I'm getting so much better at it. And one of the things that I talked to them about on that episode is I was listening to a conversation. They're like, do you remember landlines? Like, when you had landlines, you did what you needed to on the phone, and then it had to stay connected to the wall. And I thought to myself, well, the phone has a charger. Like sometimes I just pretend this is a landline. So if I want to send a text, send a message, I go to, this is more towards the 4 to 8 timeline. I go to the phone and I will not take it off of that cord.
That's a good idea.
And so if there's a conversation, I cut the conversation short because I need to move. If I am going to send the message, and if I start scrolling, I'm like, well, I don't want to just stand here in this one spot and scroll all the time. Or the kids go, Mom, can I get this? Or can we do that? I leave it on that cord. Now I dropped my phone, but it's on that cord. So it's like a landline. And that has been one of those things because I think it's like a black and white type of thing where people are like, I'm gonna delete social, and they're off social and they love it. But the second it gets re-downloaded again, the addiction happens. And I try to come at it from the middle ground of, okay, how do I like live in like a partnership with the phone is the reality of the day, but how do I have it not be the center or the drain or the distraction of other things? And that's been one of the things that's been helpful for me. And that's in my episode. I think I titled it Phone Addiction, Breaking Phone Addiction. So you guys can check that out. It's a few episodes back, but thanks for coming on today, Jamie. Let them know where they can find and follow you, and we'll leave links and resources in the show notes.
Thank you so much for having me. I am mostly on Instagram. It's just at Jamie Baker, Jammie. It looks like Jamie. Jamie Baker underscore. And that's where you can link. It links to everything from there. So.
I'll make sure to do that. And it's funny, every time I hear you say Jamie, looks like Jammie, it makes me chuckle because I always say, I'm Joelle Cease, looks like Seuss. And so I just always think we have that in common with the description of our names. But thank you so much. And we will probably likely have you come back on another podcast episode on some other time. I hope a lot of you ladies join us inside the Style Society because, like, around the time, like, you guys, the spring style guide, and I know what's going to be coming in summer is going to be so good. Summer is actually one of my favorite times for the style guide. I think it's really fun, the different looks and outfits and ideas that all of the ladies are sharing. So I hope to see many of you guys in there as well. So we'll talk to you next time. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you loved what you heard or you want to share your favorite episode topics, please leave a rating and review. This helps the podcast growth and gives people an idea of what the podcast is all about. Something new and exciting that I wanted to share with you before we go is that we now have a Patreon page. This has replaced the Feminine Edge collective community in a cohesive place that is easier for me to manage and cheaper for you. If you are interested in our monthly classes, exclusive day in the life vlogs, Bible studies, community Q&A, and more, go to patreon.com/livinginsync and join for just $5 a month. Check out the show notes for any links or details of things referenced in today's episode, and I look forward to chatting with you in the next one.